and to have a terribly aggressive space program. You can count on my using that. That's a good story. Let's see, only that you had a what you called a bare boat, meaning no truly professional crew, I guess. Was his birthday, yes. And Hans was in what role at that time? Okay, all right. When was that? Was that in the spring of 72 there? 72 would have been his 60th birthday spring. Okay. Ruthie was the other fellow's wife. Okay. So it was just the four of you. And I see. Let's see. Were there any notable incidents? Sounds like no scares. Is that right, Ford? Well, every night you did drop anchor. It was an altogether enjoyable save. That's great. And I'm sure there was a lot of good conversation around. Mm-hmm. this would, I don't think many people know about this. It would make an interesting, passage or segment there. So please do. Sure, you mentioned, and that'll be plenty of time. I'm going to start writing, I hope, in about 2 weeks. But I can catch up to that. Let me ask you, I understand Dr. Von Braun had a good, cordial, warm relationship with Congressman Tiger Teague of Texas. And they did go, you mentioned, was it bear hunting in Alaska? I had heard that they, without any details really, that they had been on, let's say, a number of hunting trips together and, of course, building those kinds of relationships can certainly be helpful. Did he really? I'd heard some story of him and Ernst and some others running around and then joking that completed the fastest Earth orbit, in history. That was 26 seconds or something, 10 seconds. But he ran around the North Pole, South Pole naked. small crowd of drunks around, and Jim said it was all quite innocent, and although Von Braun, you know, admired females, let's say, it didn't go beyond that, and that helped trigger that remark he is said to have made when I think somebody recognized him and off the way, and out of the way, some little airport cafe, you know, in Podunk, and came over and asked, you know, aren't you Von Braun and everything, and they went outside, back on the tarmac, back to the plane, and Dr. Von Braun just quick as a flash said, boys, that's the way it is when you play piano in a whorehouse. Everybody thinks they know you. Which is an old Truman remark. And of course, he played the piano too. I guess it's not a thing. But that's that. Apparently so. Did he ever share, not to end on a down note here, did he discuss with you his reasons for leaving NASA there in 72, or his some sense of frustration there? I see. And indicated basically it was time to move on. Still, there was that concern for y'all. Did he anticipate that when he left NASA, of course, I gather that was about the same time that Rocco Patron was sent, apparently by George Lowe, to Marshall Center to begin some dismantling of the Germans. unknown came and did that, and it was either coincidental or not that that occurred at Marx von Braun left and Eberhard retired. Because he was only center director for 2 years, so that would have put in about 72 months. That, of course, Rocco had been at Redstone in his army years, I think. But von Braun went to Washington in 70, and I recall that Eberhard succeeded him. But it was a short tenure of no more than 2 years. And then Patron came in, and that was the beginning of the end for the German team. Now, with Dr. von Braun and Dr. Reese gone, I mean, they may have wanted to leave, but the skinny was that they sure were encouraged to leave. That may be. That may be. I just recall recently being told it was low, but that could be mistaken. Okay, so he may not have been aware. And those things are a matter of record. I can look those up if I want to get into that. But I gather Dr. von Braun, he must have moved to Fairchild with Ed, Ewell, who was an old friend or acquaintance, and the bazooka inventor or something like that, and it was an opportunity for Dr. von Braun to make more money than he'd ever made working for the government, and to educate his children and all that. So I guess he looked at that. I mean, there were some positive aspects to going to Fairchild. The big city life that she was really born and bred to. I got a note from her, probably last spring, I think it was, March, April, somewhere in there, in response to a request that Ernst Stuhlinger and Ruth von Sommer had helped expedite, that I made of Mrs. von Braun to interview her briefly about any recollections she may have had about Werner and, well, the von Brauns and the Milton Cummings. I'm doing a biography of Mr. Cummings as soon as I finish this work. And as, you know, strictly a local guy, but just one remarkable life he had, beginning with losing a leg at age four and growing up at the edge of a mill village and then conquering the cotton and aerospace world, at least in this part of the world. That was your perception of him too. But I know that von Braun's recollection from somewhat far, you know, being around here since 57. My wife grew up with his daughters, and they overnighted together and, you know, were pals and still are, in fact, but I never knew him other than just a nodding acquaintance or as a reporter slash, you know, industrialist relationship. But later grew intrigued with life story, which I had never really done. So I think the University of Alabama Press is eagerly, they say, I've outlined it to them, and they said, yes, yes, we think we'd like to publish that. They publish about 40 books a year. And I figured it's kind of a local or state story, and that's probably the direction I would go. And so they're just waiting for the manuscript. Knew how to turn a dollar. That's what I you know, I've had more than 200 interviews, and there's just not much negative that I can find. Not that I've been really looking for it, but I haven't avoided it either. He was just as straight as an arrow. Now, do any specific incidents instances involving Maria that, you know, might either be humorous or illustrate some facet of her nature come to mind? To get into the that was her little invention. Was the older concrete, and, you know, cement mixing trucks went by, and they were using their radios, it would trigger the garage door at the Von Browns, and it was forever going up and down when these trucks would come by. So that was getting a little expert help, you know, on after hours from his telemetry chief, which I'm going to, I've never heard that from the story before, and I think they fixed the problem, whatever it was. Listen, it's getting late, and I won't keep you any longer than to finish that little reference to Mrs. Von Braun. I did, in fact, get a note back from her. It was in kind of, shall I say, shaky handwriting, and I think it was also old world, almost tortured handwriting, but she did respond and said, you know, dear Bob or Mr. Ward or whatever, I'm sorry, but other than official contacts, you know, with the Cummingses, we didn't have any real contacts or relationship with them. I don't have any stories for her, any recollection. So I think, well, either she doesn't, or just doesn't get into that. And she, and others have told me, and I'm not really going to go into this, but that she, you know, was an aristocratic woman, young woman, and she came from a certain class and used to a certain atmosphere and circle of friends and family, and she just, and I guess just personally was a very private person, and she just wasn't as democratic and outgoing and egalitarian as he was. So she, and you're saying he would have really preferred if she'd been a little more outgoing. Mm-hmm. Sure. Smart husband. Thank you so much. Well, I'd really be interested in that. It could be really, really interesting. So, thanks a lot and good luck. Oh, it really doesn't matter. Probably my wife fills up the mailbox with too many incoming catalogs. It's a little cramped sometimes. Why not, well, send it to home, because that's where I'll read it. At 3504 Chateau, you know how that's spelled, Chateau Circle, and the Huntsville zip is 35801. Okay, much appreciated, and good luck with recovering from the eye surgery and with your Gulf Shores
okay.
Place.